Thank you both for joining us today on Galesburg Live.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
National Public Health Week. What does that mean to us here in Knox County?
National Public Health Week was put in place to really celebrate what public health does every year. It's always the first full week in April. So we really try to celebrate the programs we do, our staff. We have many talented staff, and then, of course, our partners. And there's always themes throughout Public Health Week. And this year, it's centering and celebrating cultures and health. So that's our focus this week.
With public health, you know, we touch every aspect of the county. It does not matter race, ethnicity, income, where you're from in the county. At some level, we do something that touches you. You may not see it every day. We are kind of behind the scenes people. Mm-hmm. But definitely, everything we're doing is out there touching someone in our counties. One way or another, whether it be a food inspection or you're taking advantage of WIC or our LIHEAP program, or, you know, you are just an individual living in the county who has fresh running water.
Oh, right. Yeah, right.
I think people always fail to take a minute, and well, they don't fail, but they take a minute and, you know, look at how much stuff impacts your health. There's so many factors, from your environment to your income to your neighborhood to your healthcare, your family.
Yeah.
I'm losing my word, but there's so many things that impact your health. And what we want to do is make our community healthier, safer, stronger. And we just want to look for the ways to do that. So,
well, Michelle, a lot of people really got to know more about the health department, obviously, when the pandemic hit. May not have known all the things that you do, but we sure got to know that there's a health department here working for the benefit of our communities here.
They definitely got to know a little more about the health department. They really got to know our staff, which was a wonderful thing. We have some great staff, as Michelle has mentioned, and, you know, between the staffs and the volunteers that were out of all the clinics or just out doing education or anything else with COVID, you really got to meet a lot of the people who worked at the health department, and many of those people were there from day one. So, you know, that really says a lot about the staff there.
Absolutely. And many people who had never even been to your offices before, Michelle, suddenly were introduced to to the health department.
Yeah, suddenly they knew there was a health department. Yeah. And, I mean, that's one of the things we've always tried to put out there, is exactly what programs we have and what's available to the community and what we do for them. And a lot of it does center around prevention and actually preventing something from happening. So as Will said, sometimes you kind of miss the fact that we're there, because if we do our job and prevent things, then, you know, you might forget that we're actually doing it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how do you measure how many foodborne illnesses you prevented, or, you know, how many childhood illnesses you prevent with an immunization? So at a week like this, we really like to put out there, you know, the many things that we do, you know, like our communicable disease program, which was very prevalent during COVID. Yeah. But, you know, that program was already there. We already did contact tracing. We already did reportable diseases. All of that was already in place, but just much less prevalent to the community, but just as important.
Absolutely.
Emergency preparedness was already there.
Mm-hmm. Now, I look forward to kind of digging into this a little deeper here as we go through our time together in this hour of Galesburg Live, talking about those areas of prevention services that you provide. But one great resource, Will, we were talking about your new website that people could go to, and it's a lot easier to navigate. Tell us a little bit more about what you've done.
We have a really, really good website now. There's no other way to say it besides that. Anyone who ever went to our old website, I wouldn't blame them if they said they were never going to go back. The new website is just so easy to navigate.
Yeah.
There's so much there. It's updated continuously. We have an events calendar that is constantly updated with when we're going to be out and about, what we have going on at the health department as far as clinics, or where we're going to be out in the public doing things. We have a lot of information about all of our programs and services. We actually have a whole huge section that allows us to be able to put all our job postings on there, and you can apply online right through the health department website, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have a few postings there. Not a ton of openings right now, but there are some. So I'd encourage anybody to, you know, go take a look at that. Our website, you know, really is amazing, and it's taken a little bit of stress off of all the social media stuff we were doing, which they're still doing a ton of that. But now we can get so much more on our website that was so hard to do beforehand.
Yeah, we appreciate our friends at the health department. We got to know you a lot more here in the last few years. But it's nice to have something else to talk about, too.
It is. Yes. It really is.
Yeah. And but before we get back into your prevention services and talking about National Public Health Week, let's talk about you, Michelle. Are you from here in this area?
Actually, I was born and raised in Michigan. So I've been in Galesburg about 30 years or more, about 30 years. Yeah.
Okay,
so
great.
I wasn't born and raised here, but I am a transplant. I've lived here longer than anywhere else. So
yeah, right.
I guess you can call me a Galesburg native now.
Well,
so.
By now, I would,
yeah.
You know. You have you always been in public health, worked in public health?
Since I've been here, I started at the health department just 23 years ago, actually. And I've held several positions there and went back and received my master's and became the administrator just over 8 years ago. So it's been an active 8 years. So.
It absolutely has. And your predecessors probably wouldn't have expected something like this that they were handing off to you.
No, I don't know that anybody expected it. It's been an interesting past few years, and I took over, and I took over the year the state didn't pass a budget.
Oh my gosh!
It's been active since then. So
you have been, you've been up to your, eyeballs in it, right? And Will, you're from around this area?
Yeah, I grew up in Cuba, Illinois. An hour away. So
yeah, right,
very
right.
Familiar with the whole area.
And you've been in public health for
My entire professional career is in public health. May will be 27 years in public health. The vast majority of them has been at Knox County. I started here in the EH division, became the director of environmental health, went to Peoria for 10 years, and then came back to be the assistant administrator. And, this is home. I've loved it here every time I've been here. And not every day is the greatest, but that's any job. But
sure.
Overall, it's just awesome.
Yeah. So working in public health, is it something that a lot of people are still getting into? Do you see that what has happened over the last few years, that has deterred people from getting into your profession? I'm not talking about healthcare. I'm talking about the public health side of this.
Unfortunately, it probably has deterred people for a little bit. I think everybody will come back around. There's a lot of effort into promoting public health in the workforce and really getting the message out there to what public health is and what we truly do outside of COVID. So
yeah.
I think we've probably seen an initial drop in, participation employment-wise, but I think we'll spring back.
But it seems like if you want a challenging, exciting job, this would be the field to go in.
It is. I mean, honestly, what I've always said about my job at the health department or in public health in general is it's something different every day. Never doing the same thing. And I think that is the case in most every public health job or career. So, and you truly get to help people.
Right.
In a variety of ways, because you feel like you're making a difference by the programs you're doing.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about the health department itself. It's when did it open here? And have we always had a health department?
It was voted in by referendum back in 1992. I think they hired their first public health administrator late that year or the early 93. And from there, it's just been nonstop go.
That seems like fairly recent. For something as important as what the health department does. So who was doing the services that you do before Knox County had its own? No one.
All joking aside, no one. So, Knox County is one of the younger health departments in the state of Illinois. There are definitely some younger in us. Warren County is an example of a health department that's been around even less than us. But realistically, it was the state of Illinois' responsibility, but not a lot of it was being done. And there was a very hands-off approach to those counties that didn't have local health departments back in the day. So it's been explained to me because that was before my time.
Sure.
Slightly, not much, but a little bit.
Yeah.
So really it just didn't get done.
I'll be darned. And again, considering all of the things that you do when we get into the prevention services, Michelle, that seems like a lot that the state was missing.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a gap. If you don't have anybody looking at your restaurants, anybody looking at your well and septic, anybody really focusing on childhood immunizations or especially like blood lead levels.
Yeah.
We've always had a very old housing stock here, so there's a lot of lead paint. So the health department basically made a huge impact, I think, when it opened and they were able to bring about all these programs. And I know there was initially there was a task force, a coalition, sure. I guess you'd call it, a very strong one. And a lot of those people are still around.
Yeah.
And they still bring it up when they talk to us. So, you know, thank goodness that they worked so hard to get one.
Healthcare professionals, just concerned citizens, that kind of thing.
A lot of the general public. I mean, I was lucky enough when I came onto the health department, it was still very young, and we had a number of Board of Health members who were involved in trying to get the health department passed, and many of them were just people in the general public. Now, there were medical professionals also, but just lay people who just felt that the county really needed to get in gear and get a health department.
Boy, and then so those people, it should be very satisfying to them to see where this has grown. Here they are 30-some years later. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's the feedback we've received from them. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
And it's that alone is rewarding to get, you know, that kind of gratitude from people who work that hard to get it in. You really want to do right by them in your county. And I think we do. I think we have, you know, an amazing staff of, you know, from our directors, from my core staff to my directors to my, you know, receptionists. We have a truly great staff.
Yeah. And as you said, you don't have a whole lot of openings right now, but... you know, you have such a variety of staff, right, Will?
We really do. I mean, you know, all of our posting or positions, you know, go everywhere from we have a doctor in-house to individuals who do not need anything more than a high school diploma. I mean, it's a full range of positions. We do have some positions that are definitely very specialized and require special degrees, but we have a lot that are more general.
Yeah. I would think an inspector would be kind of a fun position to have.
You think that until you do it.
I get that. I can see that.
Having been down that road, you know, it takes, I'll say many of our positions take a very special person to do them. And environmental health is one of them because, you know, you're unfortunately never anyone's your friend when you go into their establishment. But it is a very rewarding job. We concentrate on trying to educate and work with our businesses, which is something that we've always hung our hat on. It is very important to us. We don't want to be looked at as coming in to try to be punitive or anything like that with that program. And I'd argue that's with all of our programs. Our primary goal is prevention and education.
Yeah.
During COVID is we had a productive relationship with our community, and we've never been one who just wanted to go in and find stuff wrong or, you know, lower the hammer. So, and we took that same approach during COVID and all of that. And I think that's what's truly helped is that relationship with the community. And all of our boards have always pushed for that.
National Public Health Week is more of a focus on the health department, but I did want to touch upon the fact that the Community Health Center is relatively new.
Yes, it is. It's, you know, the Community Health Center came about as a result of our community health improvement planning effort. You know, every 5 years we do a comprehensive community health needs assessment and community health improvement plan. Access to health care was a priority health concern for several years. So there was a lot of community partners, including our health care partners, who pushed for some kind of access mechanism for are underinsured and uninsured people that live in the county.
Sure.
So we were actually funded in 2012 as a Section 330 federally qualified health center. So we call it an FQHC, call it a CHC. We're there basically to provide access.
Yeah. So the health center is just basically a program of the health department.
It is. It's one of the programs we do. Our staff are staff of the county in the health department, and we provide medical, dental, and behavioral health, or, you know, medical, mental health and substance abuse services. And, you know, there's always room. We've grown quite a bit since the beginning in provider numbers. But we have dental appointments available. We have medical appointments available.
Yeah. Absolutely. Michelle Gabriel is the public health administrator. Will Hayes, assistant public health administrator for the Knox County Health Department. It's National Public Health Week. We are talking about the different services from the health department. And you really summed it up, Michelle, in kind of just a phrase, prevention services. That's what the Knox County Health Department provides. And that covers such a wide variety of services.
It really does. You know, public health is all about promoting and protecting health, whether it's through policymaking or programs or, you know, doing inspections. We're really out there to help people live their best life. Yeah. And, you know, the focus lately has been on, you know, different cultures and diversity and addressing disparities, which I think has always been at the forefront of public health. But it's just, I think, as an overall aspect of health, it's come out more recently.
So do you think that there is an underserved segment of our population that you're trying to actively reach out to more?
Oh, most definitely. Yeah. You know, there are individuals who have trouble getting access to care they need.
Yeah.
Whether it be they're older and can't get out and about.
Yes.
They live somewhere where they just don't have transportation. You know, we have a lot of rural communities. The health department's based in Galesburg.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a short drive to Williamsfield.
No.
Or even getting to Abington. If you don't have a car, it's hard to get here.
Yeah.
So, you know, there definitely is. And that's one of the things you're going to be seeing from us this next year is we're really going to be working to push immunizations. We had a lot of people who didn't take advantage of immunizations during COVID because they either didn't go to their doc or didn't want to. So we're going to be doing a pretty heavy campaign of trying to encourage people to make sure they get caught up on their immunizations, all of them. I'm not talking just your COVID vaccine. I'm talking, you know, if you need your Tdap, your chickenpox, whatever it is, you need to make sure you have it and you're up to date, adult or youth.
It's easy to get that done at the health department, right?
It is. And, you know, we have appointments. Our community health clinic, our CD clinic or immunization clinic are open multiple days a week. Give us a call, set an appointment, come in. We do have VFC, so we take Medicare, Medicaid. So, you know, there's a lot of opportunities where there's very little, if anything, out of pocket for individuals.
Right. So it really just, it's you taking the time to do it, and you can get it all done in one place. As you said, there's lots of immunizations that people just haven't had in a long time. They're just, whether they've consciously decided against it.
It's kind of like how many of us have stepped on a nail or something rusty and thought, oh, have I had my tetanus shot? When did I last get that?
Yeah.
You know, that's an immunization, and no one thinks about it until they need it.
Yeah.
So staying up on this is very important.
All right. Will Hayes is the Assistant Public Health Administrator for the Knox County Health Department. Michelle Gabriel, the Public Health Administrator, talking about prevention services that the health department provides. Immunizations is one of them. What would be another one of the important prevention services that you'd want people to know about, Michelle?
He talked about our communicable disease division, and of course we have the reportables and immunizations, but there's also STD testing and treatment.
Gotcha.
Our STD program is, you know, it's very important to the community because we do treatment as well. And it's a service that not every health department has, so we're fortunate to have it and encourage walk-ins. I think on Fridays we take walk-ins. But STDs are another area, along with immunizations and probably cancer screenings and such, which you would offer through the community health center.
Yeah.
You know, as part of normal appointments. But a lot of that preventative stuff kind of fell to the wayside. And we're really just trying to get that message back out there for people to take care of themselves and their health and take those actions that will prevent them getting ill later on.
Mm-hmm. The STD side of it, we don't really talk about it as much here, especially when COVID was here. It kind of took a back seat, but yeah, it's still out there.
Unfortunately, it didn't go down any.
No.
But it was just not talked about. It wasn't addressed. The problem still existed. If anything, it may have even been a little worse. You had a lot of people that were not as out and about, and they were busy doing other things if they
weren't. That's right. Yeah, so, right. Right. And they weren't being careful.
No, they were not. And that is a huge concern, is, you know, just some good preventative and good safe public health health practices, you're not public health. You know, and another area that I think I'd like to hit on a little bit is our WIC program.
WIC program, okay.
Which is Women, Infant, and Children, which even though it has W in front of it, dads can be a part of it also. You know, it's for individuals who have kids under the age of one initially, and then you can go up to four on this program. But, you know, it helps make sure they have nutrition they need. You can get food. We have, it used to be for the longest time you had these paper vouchers. Now we have like a EBT card or a debit card scenario. There's income guidelines for it, but it definitely is something that individuals need to look at in our community. There's a lot of people eligible for it who aren't taking advantage of it. It has been pretty much remote until the first of this year, and our director for it has been slowly integrating it back over. And April 1, we started seeing in person again, and we're really going to be kicking that up. So, you know, we take walk-ins for it if needed, but we'd prefer you to call and make an appointment. But, you know, if you've got a little one out there, call and talk to them. You may be eligible for this program, and it's a great program. You know, we're all worried about our children's nutrition, and this can help you get access to some of the stuff you need. And one of the things that this program has is in the summer, we get farmers market vouchers. And these go over great. So you may be eligible for those if you're in this program.
Yeah. I guess I thought that WIC was only like milk and just, you know, formula, that kind of thing. I mean, it does. Yeah. That's just my ignorance of the program.
No, and I was going to mention that because a lot of people feel that way because for years, WIC was, you got, you know, milk, your formula.
Yeah.
You know, maybe some cereal,
right?
Some peanut
just
butter,
baby
depending
stuff.
Depending on what you were, the program has really grown, and the amount of fresh fruits and vegetables, or frozen fruits and vegetables, and milk, and that's available through the program is astonishing. It's really grown, so you know, it's really worth your time to come out and see if you qualify, because I believe that Will is correct. A lot of people qualify who wouldn't really think that they do. And it's a supplemental nutrition program. It's not a handout. You know, people shouldn't be ashamed of it. It's really just there to help people be, you know, more healthy.
Right. And again, all you need to do is call and make an appointment.
Call and make an appointment. If you're in the area, you can stop by. If we have people available, you know, we work people in.
Sure.
But our, you know, I'm going to tell you, if you want a guaranteed call, and even if you just have questions, call and ask for our WIC department and talk to them.
Yeah.
You know, our goal is to get as many people on the program that we can. You know, there's not a one of us as a parent who doesn't want to ensure the best for our children. And this is one of those things that can give you a little extra support when you need it.
Is it like, you know, for the guardian of the, so for example, it may not be the mom or dad, but maybe the grandparents are taking care of these children.
You would have to be the legal guardian to be eligible for the program, whether you're the parents or a grandparent or someone like that. You know, and there are some other things with it besides just the food program. We do some screenings and some checks and help you make sure that you're going to your doctor's appointments and doing some of those things. But, you know, the main point of it is a supplemental nutrition program.
Yeah, yeah. Child care workers, babysitters, that kind of thing, are they?
You would have to be the legal guardian.
Okay, gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. I didn't know if that fell under the WIC.
But, you know, a lot of people think, oh, well, I'm a single dad. I'm not eligible. No, your father doesn't matter. Or, oh, well, my husband works and I work part time. So call and see. You would be amazed where the income guidelines fall.
We wanted to take a moment to thank the partners of the Knox County Health Department, Michelle.
Yes, we did. We have a lot of partners, and I'm going to try to list them all because I will forget somebody. But, really, any program or any department that runs such as ours cannot exist or operate without partners because we cannot do everything. We have to, you know, as a community and our resources work together to make sure that things are available for our community and that people know about them. So I truly appreciate every organization and business that works with us to make sure information gets out there that affects their lives.
That's right. And a lot of them are just concerned citizens. They are people who just want, they have a heart for public health and they want to help the good work of the department, right?
They are. It's there's community members, there's businesses, you know, even thinking, you know, think back to the past year and a half or so during COVID, you know, we had a very responsible community and that worked together very well. And we were all fortunate and everybody should know they were fortunate in that, you know, because it went a little bit smoother maybe than it did in some other areas. So we appreciate our community and our partners and, you know, part of those people are our boards. We have two boards. We have a board of health and then a governance board for the health center. And those individuals dedicate, you know, a portion of their lives to making sure the health department can operate. And we truly appreciate their time as well because it is a commitment to work with us on that.
Mm-hmm. And Will, you wanted to make sure, both of you wanted to make sure to thank your staff as well.
You know, Michelle mentioned we have two boards, but I think there's a third board we need to make sure we thank. It's our county board.
They've
been very supportive of the health department. And, you know, even though they're not always who we think about as our board who oversees us, they are very supportive of what we do. And I do want to throw a thank you out to them real quick. So, yeah, our staff, you know, I will tell anybody anywhere that we have just an amazing set of staff. You've heard me talk about it every time I've been on the radio with you. We have employees who suffered through everything with COVID with us that are still there every day happy and smiling. You know, many of them have 10, 15 years of experience. We have a lot of staff who've been there a long time that are just awesome people. But we also have a lot of new people. You know, We have a lot of younger staff who have just come on board, or just individuals who have had career changes and come to us, and you know, just a great bunch of people.
Yeah.
It's awesome seeing the atmosphere we have at the health department and how happy everyone is. And I'm sure a lot of us are happy because we're out of COVID to some extent as far as consuming every moment of our life.
Yes.
But at the same time, just it's a great place to work, and it's great people. And that's why it's a great place to work, is the people there.
Yeah. And such a wide range of different specializations that you have. You have a doctor there. You have administrative people. You have...
I mean, you know, we have a doc. We have APNs. We have nurse dentists. We have nurses. We have general staff that do clerical work. We have administrative staff. We have finance people. You know, it's EH staff. We have individuals doing LIHEAP. We have people, you know, just of all over the place doing a variety of different jobs who all come together to make things work so well.
That's right. Will Hayes is the Assistant Public Health Administrator. Michelle Gabriel, the Public Health Administrator for the Knox County Health Department, National Public Health Week. You mentioned LIHEAP, Will. We did want to touch upon that very quickly.
Yeah, I just really wanted to touch on it from the standpoint of, we know disconnects have started happening. So there is money still out there for the LIHEAP program. So, you know, you can call and make an appointment to come in. That is not a program that you can just walk in the door for, because there are certain documents we need.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're dealing with a disconnect and concerned, you need to call the health department and set an appointment. We do our best to get people in as quick as possible. I do ask you to be patient with our staff. We only have so many people and can only see so many a day. But, you know, if you're eligible, they'll get you in and we will get you taken care of.
And basically we're talking about energy assistance. Right. Help with your power bill.
Energy assistance, help with your power. And we always talk about, you know, Ameren or electricity. Yeah. But the reality is it's important to remember this also covers propane.
Yes.
It covers if you have wood fuel. It covers if you're on one of the smaller electric companies. It does not have to be Ameren. Mm-hmm. So, you know, give us a call. If you're struggling a little bit, and I've said this before in the past, you know, the LIHEAP program is just a good supplemental thing to help support you and help you during a time of need. It's not a handout. It's about helping give you the resources so you can survive and get things back where they need to be.
That's right. Will Hayes and Michelle Gabriel from the Knox County Health Department talking with us in this hour of Galesburg Live. And one great resource that we mentioned earlier in our hour, I think it Michelle wanted to make sure that we talked about this again. Your website has been redone, and it's a great resource for people to get the information that they need.
It has. And, you know, that's worse. The time we're celebrating Public Health Week is the perfect time for the public to go to our website and see everything we do and see what we have to offer and, you know, what we can do for them or what we do for them. So if you have questions about what we do, you know, we're pretty proud of our new website. I think it looks great, and I would encourage people to go out there and take a look at it.
Yeah, absolutely. Will was pretty happy about the website, too.
I am beyond happy about the website, and a lot of credit goes to staff.
Yeah.
We have a number of staff who are involved in making sure it stays up to date now.
Yeah.
And we have staff members who were involved early on in the development of it, and they just did a great job.
Yeah. Will, I thought about you the other day, and I'm not even kidding here. I was walking out back, and I looked down on the ground. There was a dead bat in the parking lot, and I remembered Will talking to us many Galesburg Lives ago about bats. Michelle and he was, we got a lot of calls. We got some calls about that.
And we're in bat season, or getting into bat season again. I think we got on the subject because we were talking a little bit about it, and I had to disclose that for the first time ever, I had bats in my house last year.
Yes, right.
Right. So, but we are in bat season. And if you do have a bat in your home, the goal is to get it out of your home without killing it. They are endangered species.
Yes.
However, if there is a likelihood or a strong chance of human or animal exposure, so basically, like, if you're in the room sleeping and you wake up and there's a bat in the room with you, you don't know, and you're never going to see the teeth marks. They're little. So the goal would be to try to capture that bat alive.
Right.
And reach out to the health department about getting it sent to the state for testing.
Go to their websites and find out more during National Public Health Week. We appreciate you both coming here today. Michelle, thank you so much for everything you and your staff does.
Thank you. We appreciate what the radio station and giving us access to the community.
Yeah. Well, Will, thank you so much again. And please pass along our best to your staff as well.
Will do. Thank you so much for having us. Like Michelle said, we always love coming in and being able to talk to you guys.